But those are kind of structural approaches to solving a risk management problem. So anything that would go towards resolving that, that would be a positive step.
Maybe I better just ask one question. Mm-hmm. Does SAFE treat state agencies just like anybody else, or is there in-house a separate part of SAFE that works specifically with state agency accounts?
We have, when we, as you know, we when we restructured and went to a branch office concept, we now have six different branches throughout the state, and each one of them is a complete service unit. They have all the services there. And when we did that, we realigned the state agency service program at the same time, and we now have a full-service team assigned to state agencies, and that is handled out of our Salem branch office. So those changes should be significant with the program as well, regardless of how the program is maybe structured under this bill.
Maybe we better have that state agency team manager over here Friday also.
Be happy to. Yeah.
That's only been in the past 6 months that you've adopted this new kind of way of dealing with state agencies.
I can't give you the exact dates, but I do know that the plan, it might be good to also address the plan itself, because the current plan that the state agencies are on is a different breed of cat. It's basically a self-rating thing because it's a control book of business. So that's different too. Those things are never very simple. I don't know how far you want to go into that. Well, we'd be happy to discuss any portion of that. Be happy to have. Would you like for him to be present to go over that?
I think I would.
Be happy to do it.
Mr. Snyder said that $8 million was an average or an approximation. Mm-hmm. How much of your overall premium does that represent?
Our estimated premium next year will be approximately $125 million, depending, of course, upon the competitive market. You know, that's always up for grabs. But our aggregate, we're projecting in terms of budgeting $125 million. But we'll see how we do in the market.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Springer. Any further questions for Mr. Beckham? Thank you very much. We'll expect to see you on Friday.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, any further testimony on this bill? Then we'll close the hearing on 2152. And we'll open the hearing on 21. And we'll open the hearing on 2157. Jane Houston. And Nancy Rainier, are you planning to come up at the same time? Is that the right pronunciation?
Ryman.
Thank you.
Madam Vice Chairperson and members of the committee, I'm Jane Houston from General Services, and with me is Nancy Ryman, who is the administrator of the Purchasing Division. We're here to talk about House Bill 2157, which is a very brief amendment to an existing statute which deals with the sales of surplus properties of state agencies. So I will ask Nancy to explain it. Nancy?
Madam Vice Chairperson, members of the committee, my name is Nancy Ryman. I'm administrator of the Purchasing Division for the Department of General Services. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2157. The bill is needed to clarify the department's authority under ORS 283-230 to sell state surplus property to the public. Until 1981, the department had authority to sell state surplus property to the public or to transfer state surplus property to state agencies. In 1981, the state surplus property statutes were amended at the request of the department. It allowed the state to sell state surplus property to other state agencies. The 1981 amendments, however, inadvertently deleted the department's authority to sell surplus property to the public. This oversight was only recently discovered. Section 2 of House Bill 2157 will clarify the current statute by authorizing the department to sell surplus property to the public subject to the competitive bidding laws of ORS Chapter 279. For those reasons, we urge passage of this bill. Be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Questions to the committee? Yes, Representative Springer.
We're talking about real and personal property. Is that correct? Or
personal property.
Personal property
personal
only.
Property.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Are you currently in the process, are you currently selling to the public now?
Madam Vice Chairperson, yes, we are, and have been always. Only recently discovered that maybe the authority to do so was not clear. Approximately 90% of the personal surplus property is sold to the public.
So currently you have been operating without full knowledge that there might be a question.
Right, that's true.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much. We'll close the hearing on 2157.
I missed a whole one.
Oh, you missed a whole one. We'll wait for our chairman to get seated here.
Thank you very much. Those moments that are uncontrolled by the union. You close the hearing on 2157. We will now go to 2158. And Richard Malin.
Mr. Chairman, if you...
Wait a minute. Okay. Am I right on that?
With your permission, we will take up two bills and discuss them at this time, 2155 and 2158.
Thank you.
These are two bills submitted by Department of General Services, and they both deal with the real property division and the sale or negotiation or activities regarding real property. They are both introduced in order to give the state additional flexibility in negotiating and working in the marketplace with its real property. Mr. Mallon is the administrator of the Real Property Division, and he will briefly sum up what we hope to accomplish by the passage of these two bills.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Richard Mallon, administrator of the Real Property Division. I'm here to testify in support of Bills 2155 and House Bill 2158. The Real Property Division performs a cycle of service for the executive branch of Oregon State government, analogous to a real estate development and property management firm. To meet the space needs of state agencies and services, the division acquires office or other workspace through leasing arrangements or construction. Those agencies then receive property management services through the division's leased facilities program or state-owned buildings program. The division sees that the buildings are maintained and the office space is changed, fit up, the jargon for it, as necessary to accommodate changing tenant agency requirements. As time passes, the agency needs continue to change. The lease and land management section will be continually operating in the real estate market to secure the agency's new required space. Transitioning old space into new, the cycle of service repeats. To address this cycle of service that we perform, we are organized into principally three line sections in our division. That is the design construction management section, who has development construction capabilities, our lease and land management section, who has the real estate appraisal brokerage capabilities, and a state-owned facilities section that has the ability to operate, maintain, and repair our buildings. The program managers of the lease and land management section, those are our real estate agents, are working in the environment of the real estate industry toward the best interest of the state. To do so effectively, we simply need to have at hand the same legal tools available to others operating in that environment. That's the reason General Services has requested the introduction of these two bills. House Bill 2155 would allow us to secure a real estate transaction when advantageous to the state with the equivalent of a conditional earnest money agreement. Any such transaction would be made subject to legislative approval prior to closing. As you know, time is usually of the essence in tendering offers in real estate. Opportunities to act are oftentimes very short-lived. It would behoove the legislature to let us have the means to seize such opportunities if, in our professional judgment, we should. House Bill 2155 would also enable the department to enter into leases containing option to purchase clauses without prior approval of the legislative review agency. Often with no significant additional cost over normal lease cost, we could put an option of purchase clause into a lease, providing the state with future options to acquire the property or to make the lease payments into purchase payments if conditions warrant doing so. There have been opportunities when we could have included purchase option clauses in the agreement at no extra cost, which would have been to the benefit of the state if we had been allowed to do so. I emphasize that the legislature is not giving up any control under this bill. The review and approval or disapproval procedure is simply shifted toward the end of a process designed to further the public interest. I strongly recommend passage of this bill.
Richard, or can I call you Dick? Or
yes,
you go by Richard?
Dick, uh-huh.
Dick, my understanding is we're talking about the ability to at least make a concrete offer by earnest monies, am I talking?
The equivalent of, yes.
The equivalent of. It says here on line 27, legislative review agency established in 291.371. What is that? What is the review agency under that? Do you know?
It will typically take the form of the an emergency board committee that
you're talking about the e-board itself. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You also made a statement about the ability to make a concrete decision and save time. In any transfer or purchase of property, generally time is money. Would it also save money to the state?
Mr. Chairman, in my opinion, it would. There are really two ways that one can acquire sufficient interest in a property to be able to review its acceptability to purchase, either an option, a clean-cut option, or an earnest money arrangement, and or you take a chance. If we are aware of a property interest that might be advantageous to the state, we invest the staff time, we take the chance that the seller is going to take another direction, in effect jerk the rug out from under us when we make that decision to proceed, and we're left hanging there with not only having lost this investment of our staff time, consulting fees, the other costs incurred, but we've lost the opportunity. That's what we're trying to avoid with this.
And if you need the land, then you've got to make start over from grid one and go a different direction and repeat that process again.
Yes, sir.
Questions? Representative Phillips.
You mentioned a couple times, and then just to answer that last question of missed opportunities, can you give me some real-life examples of where this change could have assisted you in the last couple of years? Or
the one that immediately comes to my mind would be the Capitol Mall or the Capitol Shopping Center property contiguous to the Capitol Mall on the east. That has been on the market occasionally. There was an instance when there was a substantial owner, an insurance company in California, that wanted to redeploy their assets, and they let it be known that the property could be sold at a bargain price, supposedly, on a very short time basis. We looked hard at that at the time. We consulted with the Attorney General. we did not have the mechanism to ask them. We had 7 days to try to act on that. There was no way that we could communicate with the legislature effectively on a 7-day window of opportunity. The property was subsequently sold to other investors. Since then, these other investors have been adding value to that property, so that if the state were ever to renew their interest in that property, it could never be done again for that type of a price, because in the interim there has been value added by these other owners that they will be seeking to recover whenever that value may or may not be of any interest to the state, if the state were ever to be interested in that type of property. At the conclusion of that exercise, the Attorney General then assigned to us remarked to me that you just don't have the tools you need to do your job in this type of situation, and that's what I believe instigated this bill.
One moment. So following along that, these pieces of property that you'll be purchasing fit into some long-term plan that you have had delineated by the legislature, by the Director of General Services, and when you see these properties come up that fits into those plans, it wouldn't be, oh, there's a good deal out here and we're going to go after it. It's got to be, there's got to be some prescribed judgment there.
Yes, sir. We operate on a general mandate from the legislature through the statutes to acquire the mix of property at the most economical arrangements to provide the office space required by agencies, and that typically takes a mix of owned and leased properties. The problem we have with that, then, in a given community, be it Portland or Eugene or Salem or Pendleton, we have to work that mix with what we already got there, what the situation is with our financing, what the market is allowing, what the agency's needs are. Every time there's a major agency reorganization, such as we're now working with the DHRs, that throws us into a tizzy, and so we have to continually attempt to optimize the mix of space that we have in a given community to serve the various agency needs that we have placed on us there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Representative Springer. I assume the term needed for public use is kind of a term of art which has some known definition somewhere, if not further in statute, at least in practice and custom developed over time. Is that a fair assumption?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, I don't find where you use
this. I'm sorry, this is 2158.
No, we're in.
Are we still on 55 or
58? Yeah, he's basing his testimony on 55.
Okay.
Now you've tipped him off, so he's going to be ready for you in 58.
Okay. Sorry, I thought we were asking questions on both of them.
We are, but he is addressing this specifically 55, and he'll be going into 58 shortly. Are there any further questions?
No.
Basically on 55. Gene, have you got any more to add?
No.
You were the only two signed up for 55. Is there anyone else out here that wants to make any comments on House Bill 2155? And if there's no further questions on 2155, we'll see this also next Friday. We'll close the hearings on House Bill 2155. We'll open the hearings on 2158.
I'll have Mr. Mallon again address 2158, which is an additional flexible kind of an amendment so that we can operate our real property division.
Here again, we are seeking one of the legal tools available to others operating in our real estate market. House Bill 2158 amends ORS 273.411 sub 3 to make it consistent with subsection 1 of the ORS, which provides for sale, exchange, conveyance, or leasing of property if one or the other of two conditions are met. One, the property is not needed for public use, or two, the public interest may be furthered. Besides correcting ORS 273.411, this amendment would remove an obstacle to the successful structuring of certain real estate transactions, which would be in the state's best interest. It may be possible, for example, to satisfy the state's expanded need for a facility only through the disposal of a lesser facility dedicated to the same use at the time. Under legal interpretation of the current statutes, the lesser facility could not be, quote, surplus, end quote, that would apply to Representative Springer's question, through due process until the new facility was developed to replace it. Subsection 3 allows that real property needed for public use, quote, may be exchanged for property which is of equal or superior value, end quote. It is usually difficult, if not impossible, to arrange for a two-way exchange of real estate and assets. More often, a multiple-party transaction must be structured to introduce capital or perhaps other factors necessary to successfully consummate an exchange. In practice, then, the state may have to legally sell its property in the closing of such a transaction and buy the other property in exchange. I strongly recommend passage of this bill, and I'd entertain any questions.
Questions? Representative Dellinger-Jones.
You want to clarify, I'm sure that this is the thrust of the questioning. The public interest is determined by what criteria?
As far as I'm concerned, it's determined by you. We have to determine what is, that we are operating according to the mandates that are set forth in the division, the way we acquire space, our judgments of the attempting how we can attempt to optimize the cost effectiveness of getting the most usable appropriate space for the expenditure of whatever financing or the assets we have to use, and it has to be consistent with the changing needs of the agencies and ultimately reviewed by the review agency of the legislature.
Further questions? Representative Peterson.
A point of clarification. Is there some sort of protection if indeed your agency was able to sell a smaller piece of property in the hopes that a larger piece with a new building would be built, and that for some reason that larger piece of property, the decision was made not to buy it or not to do it? Is there any kind of protection in there, since the two aren't closely linked any longer with passage of this bill? Am I understanding correctly? Shall I try again?
No. Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, I am not personally aware. I can't think of any stated protection per se, but I think the mechanism is in place, the review bodies. I might insert this point. There's also a public lands advisory committee that is that we provide staff support to, that is has on its membership two members of the legislature, and they oversee, they give us advice on our whole picture of operations that we are involved with property. We typically bring them in up front to say we are involved with these things, and they will look at problems for us very hard before the legislature would ever see them as a body. And we would go, we would move forward taking their advice, and when we come to the legislature, the review agency would typically ask us what has Public Lands Advisory Committee said about this.
Okay, so there's no possibility that a building and piece of property would have been sold before something is ready out there for them in the future.
Because we still would come to the review agency in the emergency board session and have it reviewed before we'd ever take such action.
Mr. Chairman, could I? I think maybe the gist of your question is would we sell a small building in the hopes we would be able to buy a piece of property for a large one, and there's a gap in between. I would assume that if it's absolutely necessary, we would write the sale contingent upon acquisition of a new piece, but it would allow us to do that, which would be an important thing.
Thank you.
Representative Miller. Oh, excuse me, will you?
No, yes, thank you.
Representative Miller.
The current language here down on 26 and 27, where it's talked about real property needed for public use by the state shall not be sold, exchanged, leased, or conveyed, except that it may be exchanged for property which is of equal or superior value. What are we talking about there, equal or superior value? What's value?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Miller, that would, an example would be if, for example, we had a small office building that the state owned, and we had determined that our needs had expanded in that community, and we had leased facilities that should be brought together in a larger state office building, and we would be trying to attempt to exchange this small office building into a large office building that the state would then own. That would be what the way this would allow us to do so, but it would be very difficult to try to structure that transaction.
Well, does this in any way get into the situation where the state has been kind of anxious lately to purchase or acquire a lot of swampland, and they've exchanged some pretty decent forest land for that swamp or estuary or whatever it might be called? And does this in any way deal with this? Is this the appropriate section?
No, sir. That's another agency, State Land and
right.
Forestry. That's okay. Their bailiwick. Ours is primarily addressing office space and improved properties.
Representative Jones?
Can you tell us who currently serves on the legislative review committee that you mentioned?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, perhaps Ms. Houston could answer that. It has been Senator Ripper and Representative Van Fleet, and I'm not sure if those assignments are still in place or not.
They were until the new legislative session began. We will have to have a new appointment to replace Senator Ripper. But those are the two legislative members who have served during
the appointed by the respective leadership of the two
counties. I believe so. We work with the governor's office, and I have asked the governor's office to please look into having this appointment made.
Yeah, the governor's appointments then?
I'm not sure. The governor, I believe, appoints that committee. I would assume that he would look to the leadership for recommendations for the committee.
But are you through, Representative Jones?
Yeah.
Further questions?
I guess I'll take another cut at it here.
Representative Springer.
I'm having a little trouble trying to reconcile the language on line 26, where apparently there's a balancing test. We're talking about property that's needed for public use, and I assume we're talking about a specific site or whatever. And yet, in that same sentence, we're saying unless public interest may be furthered. I guess, first of all, needed for public use must be a term of art, somewhere defined, at least in practice, if not in rule or statute. What kind of balancing test are we talking about? We're talking about obviously property that is needed for public use, but we're saying, okay, in some circumstances, the public interest may say we ought to sell this, notwithstanding the fact that it's needed for public use. Can you help me through that a little bit?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, in two parts, if you would, the language, unless public interest may be furthered, which is, of course, the highlighted amendment, is brought down from the line six above, whenever the public interest may be furthered. So we're trying to square the legislation off here, make it follow or close the loop, if you will. The example, and this is part of the question I believe you asked earlier, mm-hmm. There is a procedure in the statutes of surplusing property whereby, and this is a responsibility of our division of our department, that if property is to be surplused, we have to review, run the trap lines of all the other state agencies that might conceivably have any use for this property, and determine that they have no use for that property, and then we, based on that determination, can declare it surplus, and it would be listed. So if you were to inquire as to our list of surplus properties, that would then show up on the property. Otherwise, it wouldn't. We might have property that is not being highly used at the time, but if there is still a actual conceivable potential need, that we would not be properly declaring surplus. Where this actually functions at, to our disadvantage, if we don't have this alternative of furthering the public interest in lieu of declaring that surplus, would be, again, a case like if we have a small office building in a town that we want to see transition into a larger office building in that town, and we have to do this with limited financing, we would logically dispose of the small building, liquidate our assets, and redeploy them into the larger office building. However, that property, that small building, is not surplus. It is serving a need of state agencies in that town, and it would continue to do so until we deliver the large building, at which time we could surplus it. So if that were the case, we would have to build the large building, stand by with the small building, and then we could sell the small building in order to pay for the large building. So it'd be much like if you had a small house and you wanted to move in a big house, and somebody told you you couldn't surplus a small house until you provide your family the big house. It creates problems in the way we do business.
And just a follow-up, Claire. If I understand, we're not talking about property that...